just a minute. Fred is one of the missionaries that we support, and he's just passing by through this way today, and I want him just to come up here for a minute before I preach and just share with us what's going on in his ministry and the things that he's got going on there in Russia.
Latvia,
yeah. So it's good to have it, and I appreciate you stopping by. Let's give Fred a warm welcome. Fred, come on in here.
Well, I want to say it's a real joy to be back in West Virginia, all the way from Latvia, and to be back at Maranatha Baptist Church. And this is a kind church, a gracious church. It's been supporting us for a little over a year, I'd say. And I want to thank you for your faithful support and prayers for our family. Our family is doing well, and I come home for just a few weeks, and I'm not used to this kind of hot weather. I usually come home in the wintertime, and this heat is much more than we have in Latvia. The weather is very mild compared to this weather. And I thought I'd just, on Father's Day, I said, well, I'd like to stop by up there in West Virginia and say hello to those kind folks at Maranatha. And Brother Marvin, you've been a blessing since I met you, and it's a blessing just to be able to be a part of the work of God. I've been a missionary in Latvia for this coming August will be 20 years. And I never dreamed that I would stay 20 years on the field. But God's been good to us, and he's blessed us and honored us and gave us a family over there. And, you know, I was 44 before I ever got married. And I started late in the family business and the baby business. But God graciously blessed our home with three children. And we adopted a little girl when she was 3 years old, and she's 17 years old. We have two of our own, and we're working with the prisons mainly. But I'd like to share with you, first of all, in my home church at Joelite in Manning, North Carolina, there's a man named Larry Questenberry that comes up here, and he says, I have a fishing buddy at Maranatha Baptist Church. I don't know who he is, but there's a great, he said, I have a great friend that me and him, we do regular fishing. I don't know who he is, but if you're here, I'm sure Larry would send big greetings. And we just got to talking, and he said, well, I know those folk, especially one man at Maranatha. But I just like to share this with you. You know, sometimes the Lord does things unexpectedly in our lives. And God's like that, and, you know, his ways is not our ways, and his ways is much higher than our ways. But just recently, it seemed like the Lord has opened a door for me in Latvia in a new area, and I'm still going to try to reach prisoners and go to prison. But as I was thinking about, you know, sometimes a child that ends up in prison, ends up in the orphanage, they eventually, percentage-wise, they end up going to prison. And there's two little boys from my village that got took out of their home because their mother has an alcohol problem, and the family's in chaos and no father figure. So I'm the only outside contact with these two little boys, 5 and 8 years old, and she has lost all parental rights. And I'm trying to pray that God would raise up somebody that would be willing to go take those little boys and bring them to America, or maybe God don't have no family here, but they're two precious little boys, and they're not no problems, no mental, emotional problem, but they've been took away from their family 2.5 years ago, and I'm the only contact with them. And I see the mother all the time. I see the father on the road. They have no concern about the children. But I've been taking them bicycles recently. And, you know, I was excited about teaching the little boy how to ride his first bicycle, but somebody already beat me to it. He knows how to ride a bicycle. But he did have his first bicycle. And so there was another little child in the orphanage that come up to me and said, Esadi Gribu Velisipet. I want a bicycle also. So how could I say yes to one and no to another? So I said, well, okay. And I said, how many children you have in the orphanage? And so I come home, I said, well, you know, I'm going to share it with some folk about this orphanage that we can bring some bicycles. And, you know, I could just get the funds and go to the orphanage and just have some bicycles for those children. And, you know, that was just a small project. But when I went to Lithuania the next week to work in the prisons, I was sharing this story. And this man, this person said, well, our orphan children, we need help also in Lithuania. So what could I say? I couldn't say no to Lithuania and yes to Latvia. So I went to an orphanage in Lithuania, not the prison, but an orphanage. And I met the administrator and the director, and they was very gracious, opened their doors and said, yes, you have access. Come and visit us. Come and help us. And then to the north of Lithuania and Latvia is the country of Estonia. And those three countries make up the Baltics, which border the Baltic Sea. And I went also there to Estonia. And I visited some orphanages. So I come home with this idea. You know, there's three little countries. And I'm going to be 62 years old in just next year. And I've spent 20 years trying to reach prisoners. But I said, you know, I asked a police captain that's a friend of mine that's got 600 officers under him. I said, is there a connection between a child in an orphanage that ends up in prison? He said, it's a fact. He said, when those children grow up and go out in the real world, they're empty and they're looking and they're, you know, they don't know what a real family is like. And a lot of times they fall through the cracks and they end up in prison. And I was thinking, you know, why not try to reach a little child before he gets old enough to go to prison? Yes. And how many times I've been in prison over the years, these years, Brother Marvin, and a man has told me I've been in prison 5 or 6 times, 10 years, but I was raised in an orphanage. And, you know, I don't know how many more years the Lord's going to let me live there, but my roots is over there. And I want to just focus mainly in the days and weeks and months ahead trying to bring some bicycles to those orphan children and give them not a King James Bible or a big, heavy Bible, but a little children's Bible that could teach them about David and Jonathan and the giant. And, you know, who can tell what we could do to influence that little child to not grow up and end up in prison? And also, when a child goes to prison, goes to the orphanage, you know, if a church back home could have direct access to that little boy, and maybe a Sunday school class could write him and children could encourage him. And who can tell how you might influence a little child? And I just believe if Jesus was here on earth, he'd be trying to reach orphan children also, amen? But I just want to share that with you and help me pray. I'm going to be in for about 5 weeks and I'm headed back to God's country, amen, where God's put my heart and my family, and my family sends greetings, and hopefully one of these days I'll be able to bring my family, my wife, Miss Stella, that's a Latvian native, speaks 5 languages, and I have 3 beautiful children, and God's been good to this country boy from Mountain, North Carolina. To God be the glory. Thank you.
What does it cost you to provide a bicycle for one of these children?
Well, you can't buy. It's no use to buy a brand new expensive bicycle because a child in an orphanage, they don't know how to take care of it.
Yeah.
Many times within just a few weeks or months, that new bicycle will be damaged. So you can buy just good used bicycles for about $30 to $40. Mm-hmm. And you know, every child don't want one, and every child cannot physically have one.
Right.
But, you know, there's in 3 countries up. You know, that's my goal, is to try to have bicycles for those 3 countries.
Amen.
Bibles and bicycles.
Amen. Amen. What a great ministry. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think we ought to take up an offering for him. What do you think? Amen. I know somebody done frowned at me. But you know what? He's doing a good work. Somebody go fetch plates. Maybe you say, I ain't got no more money, preacher. That's all right. God knows that. If you want to write a check, you write to church. We're going to see that he gets a little money to help him on to get those bicycles and those Bibles for those children. You know, I that is a good ministry. And he's exactly right. We need to reach those children as little children. Amen? Before the world gets a hold of them. And so you men take up that offering, and you give as you can, and y'all go right ahead. And we'll see, Brother Fred, you get that? Okay, to help you with what you're doing. And while we're doing that, John chapter number 4 tonight. Gospel of John chapter number 4. We've been preaching on this subject on Sunday nights for a little while, on soul winners of the New Testament. And we've been talking about soul winning and how important it is for us to be soul winners. And by the way, every child of God can be a soul winner. Amen? Every child of God has a testimony to tell what God has done for them. And that's simply all you got to do. All you got to do is just tell somebody what God has done for you. Amen? And tonight, we want to look at the woman of Samaria and her testimony and what she did after she encountered Jesus Christ. So tonight, we're actually going to read beginning in verse 39. We're just going to read a few verses, but we'll look back at part of that chapter and set a background. And I want to give you a few things tonight on this woman of Samaria and what she did when she encountered Jesus Christ. What a difference it made in her life. Amen. John chapter 4, if you'll stand with me, we're going to begin reading verse 39. And we're just going to read a few verses here tonight. John chapter 4 and verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Heavenly Father, thank you again for this privilege to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. And we ask you, Lord, to bless this message. We ask you, Lord, to make us all soul winners, Father. Just to tell what God has done for us, Lord. And it'll touch somebody else. And it'll lead somebody else to Christ. Lord, bless the message tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, most of you all tonight know this story. And if you go back, and we're not going to read this whole chapter, but if you go back in the beginning of the chapter, down along about verse 4, now, what you got to understand is the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. You see, they didn't want to be in the company of one another, and so they most of the time avoided each other. They just stayed out of contact. Because, you know, when they got together, it wasn't usually good. They couldn't get along. But Jesus said in verse 4, notice what he said. And he must needs, the Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Why has he got to go through Samaria? Let me tell you something. Jesus knows something that's going to happen down in Samaria. Amen. And he's got a need down there. He knows about this woman. And he knows this woman when she's going to be coming. Amen. Let me tell you something. Understand tonight that God knows all about us. And God knows exactly what's getting ready to happen. Amen. And we must understand that tonight. And so he must needs go through. He needed to go through Samaria. And he'll encounter this woman there at Jacob's well, who's coming to draw water from the well. And you know the things that he says to her. Over in verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman goes on in a conversation with Jesus. She eventually learns that this man knows all about me. Amen. This man knows everything I've done. He knows where I've been. He knows all about me. And that's going to change her. And she will come to know who Christ is. But I want to focus tonight on what she done. What's she done after she encountered Jesus Christ there at that well? Now notice something. What did this Samaritan woman do? Well, when she went back into town, she didn't preach to them, did she? No. She did not aggravate them. No. She did not pressure them. Let me tell you what she done. She simply told them what had happened to her. She simply told what had took place there with her and Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something tonight. You know why it's important that you and I or to share our story? And by the way, I hope you do. If you're saved tonight, you have a story to tell. Amen. You have a testimony to tell how God redeemed you, how God has saved you from whatever it was that you were before you got saved. God has set you free from it. Amen. And you're saved and on the way to heaven, not because of who you was or who you are, but because of who He is and what He has done in our life. But why is it important that you and I tell our story? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ encourages us to be a witness. He would encourage us to be a witness wherever we go. You remember what He told the maniac of Gadara there in Mark chapter 5 verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends. You know, he wanted to go with Jesus, didn't he? He wanted to just go with Jesus wherever he was going. But Jesus said, no, here's what you do. You go home to thy friends and you tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. You go back home and you tell your people what God has done for you. Amen. We ought to be shouting it up and down the streets of what God has done for us. We ought to have a smile on our face everywhere we go. And we ought to be an excited group of people because we are a redeemed group of people. Hey, we are under the blood of Jesus Christ, and it ought to show in the way we look. Amen? It ought to show in the things that we say, because let me tell you what, that just doesn't belong to anybody, and it doesn't belong to everybody. It only belongs to the blood-washed, born-again child of God. Amen? So we ought to walk around encouraging somebody else to get to know who Jesus is. Let me tell you what He done for me. Just tell your story. He encouraged us to do so. You know, the apostles practiced it. You know, I think of the apostle Paul. How often in the scriptures do you find Paul telling his conversion story? Amen. Telling about how God miraculously saved him. You see, he told that everywhere he went. He was telling what God had done for him. How God had delivered him. And by the way, the Holy Spirit will use your testimony. If you're willing to share it, the Holy Spirit will use it. Amen. To use it to affect somebody else. And by the way, every Christian has a story to tell. So tell it. Maybe somebody don't want to hear it. No, they probably don't. Amen. But you never know. They just might. They just might. Hey, you tell it. You tell what God has done for you and what He's getting ready to do. And let it go. Amen. Because God uses that. I think about my encounter with the Jehovah's Witness on Friday. You know, I didn't get nowhere. At least I don't think so. But you never know. Amen. You never know. I just shared with him what God done for me and what God's getting ready to do for me. And I said, buddy, I can back it up by the Holy Book. Amen. And I wasn't talking about the watchtower either. Amen. No, I was talking about the Holy Word of God.
Amen. You see. And so we sat and talked for 2 hours, me and him, there in that car place. But you know what? You never know what that may do somewhere down the road. Amen. What a thrill, Brother Gary, would be for me one of these days to see that Jehovah's Witness in heaven. Because he might have said, you know what? I went home and thought about what you said. Huh? Hey, praise the Lord. Share the testimony that God has given to you. Now, I want you to look at some things tonight about this woman of Samaria who met Jesus. I want you to look at some things tonight. Number one, the basis of personal testimony. You cannot have a personal testimony until you have an encounter. Amen? You see, this woman going about her daily, no doubt her daily routine, her daily business. Now, by the way, this woman is a Gentile. Amen? She is a Gentile. So what is she? She's, at this point, she's lost, immoral, helpless, and hopeless. You see, which were all of us at one time. Amen? We were helpless and hopeless. But she had an encounter. She didn't know what was going to happen that day. You see, she had no idea. She was simply going after some water down by the well. You see, but Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Amen. He knew there was a Gentile woman in a mess, lost and needing help, and she's coming to Jacob's well. Amen. The disciples didn't understand that. Why in the world will you go over there? They don't like us. They don't want us. I must needs go through Samaria. Jesus wasn't worried about who liked him or who didn't, was he? You see. All he knew was, we got to go to Jacob's well. Amen? You see. And so this woman, a Gentile, will have an encounter. You know why Jesus is going to Jacob's well? Because he loved her. And he wanted to help her. Amen. You know why Jesus came to a world that hated him? Because he loved us. Amen. He loves the world that hates him. Notice, I want you to notice how she came to know him. Look at verse 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou are to prophet. Now see, he's got her attention. Because in verse 18 and 17 and 18, the Bible says, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. Now, the woman's beginning to realize there's something different about this man. Amen. I perceive that thou art a prophet. He's got her attention. Amen. He's got her attention. Now, go with me to verse 25. Now, she says, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he would tell us all things. Boy, she's getting there. Amen. And she said, but I know some things. I know that Messiah is going to come. And when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. Look what he said to her in the next verse. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Amen. You see, she's had an encounter. Began to realize something about Jesus. And here in verse 26, she just found out he is the Messiah. Amen. She found out who Jesus was. You remember the day you found out who Jesus was? Amen. Hey, you may have walked around for a long time thinking there's something about this Jesus. I hear a lot about him and people are saying a lot about him, but then there was a day when you yourself knew who he was. Amen. You see, look verse 29.
She's beginning to Christ witness to the disciples. And verse 28 says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Uh-oh, what has happened to this woman? She had an encounter. She was no longer worried about the water. She had an encounter with the Lamb of God. Amen. And our text tonight we read in verse 42, the Bible says, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. And because of her, some other people had an encounter as well, didn't they? And so we must have an encounter before we can have a testimony. Now, number two, we must have a willingness to tell. We must have a willingness in our heart to tell. All of a sudden, this woman, a Gentile, whose life we read was a mess. Maybe she stayed back in the background. Maybe she didn't want to be seen very much. Maybe she wasn't heard very much. But all of a sudden, she's got something to say. Something has happened. You see, there's been a change in her life. You see, we go back to verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And then the woman left her water pot. You see, she had something to tell. She left the water pot on the ground, didn't she? Now she's coming to Jacob's well to draw water. But before she ever drew any water, she got living water. Amen. All of a sudden, the fleshly water didn't mean anything to her. Well, hey, she threw that pot on the ground. Boy, I've got something. Something has happened. Something. She got something different than she came for. And she had to tell it. Now you could have said, well, she could have went ahead and got her water. And it went on back. She won't worry about that water anymore. Amen. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember when you first got saved? Nothing else really mattered, did it? Nothing else. Matter of fact, you probably, when you got saved, and I don't know whether it was in a church, whether it was in your house, doesn't matter. But whatever you was getting ready to do that day, you probably can't remember. Amen? Because you had an encounter with the Savior. Something different took place. 1 Corinthians, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, and yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. When Paul got saved, he had one thing in mind. You know what that was? Nothing else mattered to him. He wasn't worried about anything else other than he's got to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, all of a sudden, all those things he worried about and all those things he tried to do were all of a sudden gone when he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And Jesus became the forefront. 2 Corinthians 5:14, he said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Amen. It constraineth us. It excites us. It makes us start moving because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Paul said it's the love of Christ that constraineth us. That should be our purpose tonight. Amen. Thirdly, I want you to look at the scope of this woman's testimony. The Bible says she went back home. She went back to her people, didn't she? She went to her own hometown. Do you realize tonight that just outside the doors of this church, I'm telling you, probably it just inside of what we could walk in 30 minutes, there's lost people enough to fill this building two or three times over. Amen. There's lost people. Hey, all right here in good old Princeton, West Virginia, waiting on somebody to tell their story. Waiting on somebody to say, look what he done for me. Amen. And maybe somebody's getting ready to come to the well. They need an encounter. You can give them the best encounter they ever can have. I would say all of us live in neighborhoods that we could get out and walk and reach all kind of lost people. Hey, man, are you listening to me? You see, just a simple knock on the door to say, let me tell you who Jesus is. Let me tell you what he done for me. And I'm going to tell you, it'll change somebody's life. It'll change somebody's life. And not everybody's going to listen, but there are some that will. Amen? And some will. And so people need the gospel. You say, well, I'm not a good speaker. Well, you don't have to be. Amen? Hey, just tell your story. Tell them what Jesus done. I want you to look at this woman's method tonight. Her priorities changed. She was going to the well for one reason. It changed. Amen. That's what God does for us. He changes our priorities. What was so important to us at one time, all of a sudden isn't anymore. You see, she left her water pot. Number two, she had an eagerness. This woman got excited. I believe that. I believe she had an eagerness. That's why she left the water pot. I've got to go back and tell my family, my lost people, what just happened to me. And that's what she done, didn't she? She went back there and told them. She had a direction. She knew where she needed to go and who she needed to find. And she went and found them and told them about this man she met down at Jacob's well. He's the Messiah. Amen. He's the one they're talking about. Hey, there was an emphasis in her speech. She had something to talk about. Jeremiah, I think of the prophet Jeremiah. When God called Jeremiah, you remember? A young fella. I'm not sure how old he was, but he was young. He said, I can't speak. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. For I am a child. This is Jeremiah, the prophet, when God called him. Lord, I can't speak. I'm but just a child. Who's going to listen to a child? Verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. You know what he told Jeremiah? Don't you worry about being a child. Don't you say I'm a child. You go and you tell what I'm going to tell you to tell, and I'll do something with it. Amen. We can make all kinds of excuses, but God don't like them. Amen. We can make all kinds of excuses. Oh, I'm not a good speaker. You know, I'm afraid of being rejected. Well, that doesn't work. You say what God tells you to say. He goes on to say in verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You know, when you go out, maybe God has put somebody in your mind that needs to be saved. If God has, then you ought to find them. You are to go and encounter them, but go in the power of God. And you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I don't really know what to do, but I'm going knowing you know what to do and knowing you know how to open that door. Always go in the power of God. He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Amen. You know, the Lord puts words in our mouth. He does. And if you go in the power of God, trusting in God, He'll do just that. You know, people, I've heard people say, you know, they'll ask a question and I'm afraid I can't answer it right. Well, if you don't know the answer, nothing wrong with that. I've been asked a question before to say, I don't really know what the answer to that is. Or even if there is one. Amen. You know, people of the world today want to trick you up with dumb questions. Dumb questions. They have a lot of questions, but most of them is dumb questions. A lot of them don't have an answer. You know, I always told you about the atheist that I roommated with in college. By the way, did I tell you he's saved and in a Baptist church? Did I tell you that? He contacted me some 30 years later. He contacted me. He said, you remember me? We called him Red. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember. I remember you. And we were roommates at Concord. And he was an atheist. You know, he said, oh, you know, I'm an atheist. And I said, I don't believe no, there ain't no such thing as an atheist. I said, I don't believe it. You can say what you want to. I don't believe you. But he asked me stupid questions. I mean, dumb old stuff. You know, about the boat that Noah built. I said, I don't know. I wasn't there. I said, all I know is what the Scriptures say. I believe what the Scriptures say. Amen. How did he get this animal? You can get this animal. I said, I wasn't there, buddy. I told you I wasn't there. I don't know. All I know is he got it in there. Amen. That's right. And he contacts me 30-some years later, and he's gotten married, and he's been saved, and he's helping the church with his artwork in the church and the VBS and in the children's church. Don't tell me God don't know what he's doing. Amen. Amen. You just maintain a testimony. Right? You just tell him, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able. I don't understand it all. But I know what God done for me. Amen. Amen. Share that. Somewhere down the road, God will make something out of it. Amen. You see, we get discouraged. Yeah, oh yeah. You know, people will discourage you. You know what? I have a feeling Jesus got a tad bit discouraged when he was upon this earth. I figure God gets discouraged now, some of us, myself included. Amen. But a testimony is the greatest thing in the world. Now, you want to mess somebody up, is claim you're a Christian and have a bad testimony. Amen. That'll do a lot of damage to somebody. If you're going to say you're a Christian, have a testimony that backs it up. Amen. Have a testimony to say there's something about that guy. You know, why in the world is he smiling all the time? You know, I go around singing all the time. I worked in the funeral business for 25 years. I've sung to many a dead person. That's a fact. I would sing and work, and I'd go upstairs to singing and out on funerals to singing. Out there in the car driving and singing. And old George, and George's dead now. By the way, y'all know if y'all remember George. George was my buddy. Worked with me all the time. And, you know, George was one of them hard-nosed, and he was a good man. But you know, and I'd say, George. I'd say, he said, why are you so happy all the time? I'd say, I got a reason to be happy. Amen. Amen. He said, why you got to sing all the time? I said, I'm singing because I'm happy. You know, George died. He got pancreatic cancer. I had done left, and I was a pastor at the church. He got pancreatic cancer. They found it in November. And I was sitting in my office one day, and there was a ring at the door. And George was always a big guy. But he rung the doorbell, and I went, and there stood George. He'd probably lost over 100 pounds. And he come in. I don't think nobody knows that, but probably me. He come into my office, and he sat down there, and he began to cry. I said, George, he said, you know, Marvin, he said, my time is short. I said, I know. I said, they told me. And he said, I just want to come talk to you. He said, I don't know who else to talk to, but I want to talk to you. He said, I want to make sure everything's right between me and God. Amen. And so I began to talk to George. And I said, George, let's pray. He looked at me and he said, I want to, but I want to do it at the altar. So me and George came into this room you're in. And at this altar, that boy cried out to God. In January, he went home. Just a couple months later, he died. You see, what I'm telling you, folks, maintain a testimony. Amen. Even when the world ridicules you, when the world makes fun of you, you maintain a testimony. For the world, one of these days, is going to come looking for a person with a testimony. Amen. They're going to come looking for somebody that can get a hold of somebody that can help them. Amen. This woman had an encounter with Jesus. And when she had that encounter, it changed her life. Now, I want you to notice what she said. Well, look at what she said. Verse 39 and verse 41. And many, well, look what happened. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, it's all she said, he told me all that ever I did. That's all she said. The Bible says many believed on him. Amen. Verse 41. And many more believed because of his own word. I want to finish tonight with back over in verse 35. Verse 35, the Bible says, say not ye that there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know what Jesus is telling us? Now's the time. Now's the time. If we're going to get people saved, we're going to have to go get them. Amen. All you got to do is share your testimony. They might not get saved right then. It may be 30 years down the road. Amen? It may be 30 years down the road. Or they may come one of these days looking for that one that told them about Jesus. Amen? Don't be ashamed of God. Be proud to be a child of God. And share your testimony wherever you go. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this message tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the perfect plan of salvation. How you have allowed us all that are saved, to be saved. And, Lord, you've given us a testimony to share. And I pray that the folks will share it wherever they go. Lord, to somebody along the way, it'll leave an impact on their life. And somewhere down the road, they might be saved. Thank you, God, for this plan of salvation. Thank you, God, for the work of missionaries. We thank you, Brother Hawks, being with us. And, Lord, souls being saved. And, Lord, not only here, but all over the world. And, Father, I just pray now that you'll give us a soul winner's heart tonight to share the testimony that God has given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.